Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 26, The Beast Covenant, Image, and Mark.
First of all, we want to say that God doesn't care about the world making covenants, but He forbids Christians to willingly make a covenant with the world. Why do I say willingly? Because in this particular covenant, you're not going to have any choice because they're not going to ask you. They're just going to appoint you ahead, okay? And they're going to make the covenant. It's forbidden for us to make a covenant with unbelievers or else we don't have a covenant with God. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What concord hath Christ with Belial? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Come out from among them, be separate, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. There's the condition. If you do this, I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. So you have to be separate. And God does say that He will annul their covenant with death. God is going to break this covenant. Because the true Christians will come out from among them, they're going to be hated of all nations for God's name's sake. See, God wants to separate His people from the world. He wants to manifest His name in His people. There's only one way He can manifest His name, which means nature, character, and authority. That's what the word means. Onoma, New Testament word. The only way He can manifest His name in His people is He's got to cause the world to hate them. He already did this in the Old Testament. He told Israel, I'm going to cause all your lovers to hate you because she loved them. See, the people of God love the world. And God's got a solution. He's going to cause the people of God to see the world for what it really is. When you pledge allegiance to the flag, that will be over for God's people. The world will see the true Christians as the spoilers of this covenant and will use the mark of the beast to make them criminals, as it was with Daniel. You remember how they picked a fight with Daniel in his prayer. He wouldn't pray to the king, right? And the three Hebrews, they wouldn't bow down to the image, right? That was all a planned thing in Daniel. Well, this one's planned too. They planned those, and they're going to plan this one. God has ordained the mark to separate His people from the world. The mark and the image of the beast. I know for a fact that from what the Lord has shown me about types and shadows and parables like Daniel in the book of Revelation, that God never has to give you a literal fulfillment of that. That's the main deception, is that while people are looking at it in the letter thinking there's going to be a literal fulfillment, it's being fulfilled in the spirit. Okay? However, God can make a literal fulfillment for a purpose. And I believe He's going to do that with the mark of the beast. I believe there will be a physical mark of the beast. However, the physical mark of the beast is not the real danger. That's what I want to show you. It's not the real danger. That's what people are looking at on the surface. There's something else that's more dangerous. Because the people who have the spiritual mark of the beast will take the physical mark of the beast. They will. They will not be able to avoid it. It's a part of their nature. They will not be able to avoid it. One thing is, the people who don't really have faith in God, they don't believe that they can live in the wilderness without buying and selling with the world. The mark of the beast is going to separate God's people from the world so that they won't buy and sell with the world. They'll have to depend on God. They'll have to walk by faith in Him. They'll have to see His provision. That's the whole point. See, God designed the mark of the beast. The devil didn't. God did. He's tired of His people living in the world. He has to separate them before He comes. See? So He planned this. Also, the mark is going to identify the members of the body of the beast that are sitting in the temple of God. This is something the Lord showed me. The government of Harlot America is a secular false prophet to bring the physical mark to the world. The government of the Harlot Church is a religious false prophet to bring the spiritual mark to the world. Have you ever heard somebody say, or anybody say, that the leadership of America was a false prophet? It is. But we're mostly talking about the religious false prophet here. The mark and the image are primarily spiritual. Watch. Revelation 14:1. And I saw, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name. That's the Greek word onoma, and it means nature, character, and authority. Having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Well, that wouldn't leave a lot of room on your forehead, would it? If you had all those names written up there. And you don't believe, and I don't believe, that that's physical, do you? You don't believe that that's talking about a physical name, right? And your forehead represents your mind, right? Okay. Christians take a spiritual mark that is the nature, character, and authority of Christ in their minds. It's called the renewed mind, or the mind of the Spirit. See? Well, you can see that in that verse. So what if you look at another verse in the same text? Here's one in the exact same text, just a few verses apart. And it's talking about the spiritual mark of the beast. You say, well, I thought that was talking about the physical mark of the beast. Well, primarily, it's talking about the spiritual mark of the beast, because we just saw in the text another example of that. And God's not going to make it in one place physical and the other place spiritual. So primarily spiritual. Revelation 13 and 16, and he causeth all, the small, the great, the rich, the poor, the free, the bond, that there be given unto them a mark on their right hand, which represents your works in the Scriptures. Right hand. And this, the right hand in this case, in every case it's not the right hand, but in this case it's the right hand because the Lord put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. He's talking about their spiritual works. And upon their forehead, which means the minds, a mark. Primarily, this is spiritual. It's not primarily physical. And that no man should be able to buy or sell save he that hath the mark, even the name. Notice the mark is the name. The mark, even the name. And the name is the nature, character, and authority of the beast. The mark, even the name. Or the number of his name. We've already looked at the number of his name, and it means the same thing. And the whole world's going to take it. Identifying themselves as members of his body. You see, when we have the mark of God, it identifies us as members of his body. Conversely, in the same verse in Exodus 13 and 16, it's talking about God's mark. Revelation 13, 16 talks about the devil's mark. Exodus 13, 16, it's not an accident. It talks about God's mark. And you can compare the two because even though they're opposite, they are the same. Watch. And it shall be for a sign upon thy hand, thy works, and for frontlets between thine eyes, that's your forehead, and your mind. This verse is more completely described in Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. My words in your heart and in your soul. Notice, you know what is the nature and character and authority of God? His word. It's all there. Right? So now he's adding something else, another dimension, the word. And they shall be for frontlets between your eyes. That's in the foreheads. And between the eyes has another meaning because If you have a renewed mind of Christ, you see things totally different than the world does, don't you? You see things the way the Apostle Paul told us to see things, you know. Frontlets. The Jews took these little boxes. I know you probably know the story, but they took these little boxes and they put scripture verses in these little boxes and they bound them across the back of their hand and across their forehead. Now, what could that possibly do? Except it's a symbol of what we're supposed to do. You know, the things that happen unto them are for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And what God is saying, the word frontlet means to bind around. What God wants is our works to be bound by the Word of God and our mind to be bound by the Word of God. We will not permit our mind or our works to go beyond that which is written by the Word of God. We are bound by the Word. Okay? The Word manifested in the hand represents the works of the Spirit. And in the forehead, it represents the mind of the Spirit. And this is the mark of God. Notice, this is the mark of God. Conversely, again, the false word through the false prophets manifested in the hand represents the works of the flesh. And in the forehead represents the mind of the flesh, which is the mark of the beast. And you know that, you and I both know that these ear-tickling doctrines that we're hearing in the churches, they don't do anything to manifest the mind of Christ. They don't motivate towards Christ. They don't motivate towards holiness. You know, like the unconditional all fly away rapture, you know, or the unconditional eternal security, or this false grace that they're talking about in these days, you know. None of that is the mind of Christ. False prophets are putting that in people's minds to make them, to enable them to walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. Because you know that the people that believe that, it destroys any motivation to holiness, you see. And they do walk after the flesh and the mind of the flesh. First of all, people believe that because they want to believe that. They want to believe that because then they don't have to change what they're doing. And I saw another beast, and he had two horns, like unto a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, the corporate false prophet, which I said starts in the UR, and it's going to go all the way down to the guy in the pulpit. And he causeth all, the small, the great, the rich and the poor, and the free and the bond, and there was given to them a mark, which is the Greek word karagma, on the right hand, which is the works, and on the forehead, which is the mind. The mark is the karagma. This is an interesting word. Karagma means the act of being stamped or impressed or engraved by a character. Now, you know what a character is, right? A character is a tool for reproducing itself. A character or a mark, it's the same thing, the mark, is a tool for recreating its own image, like a typewriter key or like a notary stamp. See, a character is an image. You know, like if you look on the typewriter key, there's an image on that little hammer. But it's an image for recreating itself. And there's an image on that notary stamp, but it's an image for recreating itself. That's what the karagma is. It's the act of recreation with that image, okay? Like the typewriter character reproduces its image on paper, a recreated religious image is called an icon. It's in the dictionary. And the word for mark of the beast, or excuse me, image of the beast, the word image there is the word icon in the Bible. So here's how you have it. The mark, which is a character, recreates an image called an icon. See? Now you know what makes the image of the beast. The mark makes the image of the beast. They're connected. The mark creates the image of the beast. And it creates it in the mind and works of the people. The image of the beast is his body, as the image of Christ is his body. Here it is kind of summed up. The character, which is the mark, we've seen is the Word of God and the name of God. The name being the nature, character, and authority. However, if it's of Christ, then it creates the image in His body and works. If it's of the beast, it creates His image in His body's mind or works. You follow me? So the Word and the name make a lot of difference. If you change the Word, you don't have Christ anymore. Have you ever seen churches that had another Jesus? There's lots of them, aren't there? When they describe their Jesus for you, in a lot of cases, he's a do-nothing, good-for-nothing Jesus. He don't heal the sick. He doesn't cast out devils. He doesn't deliver from sin. And you know what? Those people come into that image because they sit and listen to that all the time. The apostates do not know that they are taking the spiritual mark of the beast from their false prophets, as we saw in Mark's dream. He said, I happened to look in the wrong door and noticed a giant minister's conference. They were being shown a film on how to scan a beam of light across the foreheads or minds of their congregation, giving them the mark, which is the word character, of the beast without them knowing it. Now you see how that the people take the spiritual mark and they don't even know they're taking it. And those people will take the physical mark. The false prophet's words, which is the mark, give the beast's spirit to the image of his body, causing it to speak as he does. Watch, Revelation 13 and 15. And it was given unto him, that's the corporate false prophet, to give breath, which is the same word for spirit, to give spirit to it, even to the image or icon, to the beast. The corporate false prophet gives spirit to the image of the beast. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as should not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, have you ever noticed, I know that you have, that preachers pass on their spirit and the people pick up that and they become just like them and they speak just like them. Because not only is the image being recreated by the word that's preached, if it's a false word, it creates the false image. And if it's a true word, it creates the true image. But a spirit is being imparted. There are religious spirits out there. Do you know, I'm not picking on anybody in particular, but what do Baptist preachers reproduce? Baptists. Each seed brings forth after its own kind. And Methodists, Methodists, and Pentecostals, Pentecostals, and so on and so forth. Each seed reproduces after its own kind, the Bible says. And the seed, according to what Jesus showed us in the parable of the sower, is words. Words reproduce the image of God or of Antichrist. Okay? And they impart spirit to that image so that it speaks. We in Pensacola, we have a little religious cult down there that they stand out on all the street corners and wave their Bible at people and tell everybody they're going to hell. Everybody. And when people drive by, they roll up their windows. They don't want to hear it. And the spirit that's in these guys, they don't have the good news. They don't share the good news. The good news, of course, is the power of God unto salvation to the one that believes it. If you offer the good news to people, that's what God uses to save them. Not the bad news. Well, all they got's bad news. It's all they got's bad. You're going to hell. They tell everybody that. And, well, people don't want to hear that. They want to hear what God can do about it. They know they got a problem, but they want to know what God can do about it. They want to hear the good news. Well, anyway, these guys have got the same spirit as their preacher does. They act and talk just like him. Just like him. See, he not only put that word in them, but he put that spirit in them. The radical Islamists, you know, think about how these people got that way. They got that way sitting under somebody teaching them. That spirit was imparted to them through the words that were spoken. And then they speak as the image that's created the same way their master does. You see? That's what this is talking about. It's not talking about some statue that talks. You heard that one? Or is it talking about a computer? You know, the Brussels computer. That was one of them I heard, you know. In the same way, the true prophet's words give Christ's spirit to the image of his body, causing it to speak as he does. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit, which is also the word breath. We looked at the other verse. They are spirit and they are life. So when it gives spirit to the image of the beast, this is the same word right here. Jesus gives spirit to his image and causes them to speak as he speaks. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. That means we're supposed to speak just what God says, without adding to it, without taking from it, right? Speak as an oracle of God. So, we saw the example of the cult leaders. They do the same thing. You know the cults. They pass on their spirit. They pass on their image to their disciples. The dead denominations are the same way. True prophets preach the true word, which is Jesus Christ, who is the character. Watch this. This is interesting. Which is the character sent by God to recreate his image in our mind and works. Now, you remember what the character is. The character is like the typewriter key, right? Well, that's what Jesus is. That's exactly what the Bible says he is, Hebrews 1 and 3. Who being the effulgence of his glory and the very image, character this time, of his substance. Jesus is God's character. Image is not a very good translation here because character is related to the mark in the book of Revelation, you see. But a character is an image. It's just an image that reproduces itself. So Jesus came in the image of God in order to reproduce him in our mind and works. And the way that's imparted is you preach Jesus to the disciples. That's the mark. Then it recreates them into the image in their mind and works. The mark or character of the word of Jesus reproduces his image in us who believe it. Here's a verse that says that. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, which is the Word of God, right, are transformed into that same image, icon, same word, icon, from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So when we look in the, when we look into the Word, and we're impressed with the Word, which is the Lord, and we are transformed into that same image, the image of Christ. Those people also that who see only their natural face in the mirror, which is the people that don't walk by faith, they look in the mirror and they don't see Jesus, they just see themselves. They're just going to be hearers of the word, not doers of the word. They're not going to have any power to obey because there's no faith in that. You see, we were crucified with Christ. We don't live anymore, Paul said. Christ lives in us. That's faith. God can use that, but he can't use people who only see their old natural self. See, that's part of the gospel that's been lost. We have all borne the image of the beast, and it's only by the word of God that we can take on Christ's image. See, the spiritual mark of the beast, there is a cure for it. There is no cure for the physical mark, but there is a cure for the spiritual mark. 1 Corinthians 15, 46-50. Howbeit, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Then that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, which is the born again man, right, is of heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, that's the beast, let us, it says in the Greek, by the way, let us, not we shall, because it is not certain that anybody that he's speaking to will. He's telling us, let us. All the Greek manuscripts say that. Let us also bear the image of the heavenly Christ. We've all borne the image of the beast. We all walked after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. And yet, through the Word of God, we have opportunity to be born in his image. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. The true gospel exchanges the earthly image for the heavenly image. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Seeing, whenever they say seeing like this in the Bible, you'll notice he's talking about seeing by faith, with the eye of faith, right? Seeing that you have put off the old man. This is what we're supposed to see. This is how we're supposed to see in the kingdom. Seeing that you put off the old man, which is the beast, with his doings, and have put on the new man, which is Christ, that is being renewed unto knowledge. See, the Word of God is what brings us the image of the new man, Christ. After the image of him that created him. See, we through the Word of God, through the renewing of our mind, we are coming into the image of Christ. We're putting off the image of the beast and we're putting on the image of Christ. You see? The traditions of men do just the opposite to a Christian, even. The traditions of men, Romans 1, 22-25, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, when is it when people profess themselves to be wise? When they disagree with the Word of God and they give you their own doctrine and they make their own Jesus up instead of the Jesus of the Bible, they're professing themselves to be wise and they will become fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God, which is the image of Christ, for the likeness of an image, same word, icon, of corruptible man, which is the image of the beast. So by their foolishness and by preaching another Jesus with another word, they're actually bringing people back into the bondage of the beast, into the image of the beast. Because they exchanged the truth of God, which is the word, for a lie. And worshiped and served the creature, that's the image of the beast, rather than the creator, which is the image of God. See, it is dangerous to sit underneath false teaching, especially when they're preaching another Jesus and another gospel and another spirit, as Paul called it. Because another Jesus is Antichrist. Christ is the Word which came down out of heaven, John 6, 32, 33, and 51. And the beast is the Word from the abyss, Revelation 11, 17. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. See, only the Word that came down out of heaven can recreate us in the image of Christ and make us acceptable. You know, in the parable of the sower went forth and sowed the seed, and the seed was the Word of God. And the word for seed there, by the way, is sperma. You know, Jesus reproduces himself as God's character. Well, men reproduce themselves with their sperma. Well, Jesus' sperma is the Word of God. It's the only thing that'll reproduce him. The only thing that'll reproduce him. If you change that, you end up with another Jesus. See, the most important, there isn't anything more important, even going to church. There's nothing more important than getting familiar with the Word of God so that you don't swallow something that's not the Word of God. And so, Jesus, each seed brings forth after its own kind, and only the Word can bring forth the image of Christ in his body. If you're sitting in a body, that the preacher isn't coming into the image of God, don't bother to listen to him because it won't help you either.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.